الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في كثرة الحلف. باب ما جاء في كثرة الحلف. The chapter with regards to that which has come about swearing often. About swearing often. يعني من النهي عنه والوعيد فيه والذم لمن كان كذلك. يعني that which has come about the prohibition and the threat and the blame of the one who is always swearing or swearing often. Any meaning without need or with a bad intention and the likes like this. So we have seen in previous chapters the issues with regards to al-hadif, and if a person is going to swear, then he must swear by Allah. مَنْ كَانَ حَالِفًا فَلْيَحْلِفْ بِاللَّهِ أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Whoever is going to swear, then he should swear by Allah or be silent. That he should swear by Allah or be silent. And likewise, we have seen in the previous chapters recently as well the obligation of being honest and truthful whenever one is swearing. Of being honest and truthful whenever one is swearing. Swearing is a means to affirm and to emphasize a person's statement, and also to glorify and to praise the one that one is swearing by. So therefore, it's only allowed to swear by Allah. It's only allowed to swear by Allah. So to emphasize a person's statement, somebody, they will swear by something they consider to be great. And nothing is greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reality, and likewise in the heart of a believer. So therefore is not allowed to swear by anything other than Allah. And likewise, it's incumbent as well to be honest and truthful whenever one is swearing. And by swearing often and unnecessarily, this is taking this affair lightly and taking the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lightly, and making this swear and this oath become or to be considered something that is insignificant, and this is having bad manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to swear, no doubt, is beneficial and could be needed in certain times, but not all of the time, and not in every statement, and not in every circumstance, but rather whenever there is a need for that, or the situation is calling for that, or there is a benefit, and the best interest is to mention an oath. Yani by swearing is to emphasize a person's intention and statement by swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal, it's allowed. But as for swearing all the time and often in this manner like this, then this is a means to, in reality, belittle this affair, and that this issue will become insignificant with this person. And many times it will lead to him likewise swearing upon something falsely, and falling into lies or invalidating his swear without right and the likes like this. So in any case, this here is taking the affair of swearing lightly. And likewise, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his attributes. So therefore, this is contrary to the perfection of the obligation of it, tawheed. So from this aspect, the author, he discusses this issue now in this chapter. He discusses this issue now in this chapter. In the previous chapters here, we've been discussing the affairs related to ta'zim Allahi Azza wa Jal, magnifying Allah and glorifying Him, and having the proper manners with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala from every aspect, with regards to creed and intention, and likewise with regards to actions, as well as with regards to statements and expressions that one uses. A person, he must discipline himself and have noble and good and lofty manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that as well, with regards to swearing, by the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the ta'zim of Allah, glorifying Allah Azza wa Jal and praising Him and holding Him in high regards with regards to al-hadif, with regards to swearing, it occurs in a number of manners. First and foremost, the hadith must be by Allah alone, and this has preceded, and to swear by other than Allah is considered shirk. The origin is that is minor shirk, and if a person were to swear by other than Allah, like his father or his mother, or the amana, or anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is considered minor shirk, unless the person he actually praised and glorified the thing that he's swearing by, and honored that and respected that in the same manner he honors and respects Allah, or greater than that, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, then it will be major shirk. Then it will be major shirk. Likewise, one must as well swear by Allah alone, but be truthful in that. And to swear by Allah alone and to lie while doing that is a major sin. Is a major sin and a great crime. But it is lesser than that which has preceded. It's lesser than the first one, swearing by other than Allah. Likewise, from the magnification and glorification and reverence one must have with regards to Allah, and reverence one must have for Allah with regards to swearing, and that which has preceded likewise, is that if a Muslim swears for someone by Allah about a particular event, then that person he would accept that, and he will suffice with that, and he will be content with that. If somebody comes to an individual, to one of us for example, and then he swears by Allah he did something or he did not do something, then we will accept that from him because of the greatness that Allah he has in our hearts, and the magnification that we have, and reverence and respect that we have, and honor we have for Allah, that whenever we hear somebody swearing by the name of Allah, then we accept that from him. And this is likewise from the completion of a tawheed, unless there was a clear indication and it's well known that this person is directly lying. But the origin is this, and if something is unknown or somebody is uncertain about someone, and they said they did or did not do something, and if somebody was doubtful about that, and then that individual, he swore by Allah, after that the issue is finished. After that the issue is finished, especially if it's in front of a judge. And the other individual, he does not have any clear proof. These affairs have proceeded. And likewise, from the ta'zeem of Allah Azza wa Jalla with regards to al-hadith, is to protect the oath, is to guard the oath and to maintain the oath. And that is what the author he is discussing here in this chapter. So this is from the perfection of the completion of the obligation of at-tawheed, min kamali at-tawheed al-wajib, and to swear often, kathratu al-hadithi billahi azza wa jal, tunafi kamali at-tawheed al-wajib. So this is the issue here in the relationship of this chapter to the book of at-tawheed. So the author, he says, wa qawli Allahi ta'ala, wahfadhu aymanakum, and Allah azza wa jal, he mentions, and you must preserve and maintain, and you must preserve or protect your oaths. You must preserve and protect your oaths. Al-Ayman is the plural of Yameen. Al-Yameen, literally, it means the right. But here what the Yameen is referring to is Al-Hadif, or Al-Qasam. Swearing is called Al-Yameen. And this is because the Arab, they used to, whenever they would swear upon something and have an oath with someone, then they would put their right hands in each other's right hand, yani shaking hands upon that. So it became known as al-yameen. So in any case, what is intended with the yameen or the ayman? The ayman is plural of yameen, the oaths, that one he will swear, and yani the swear that one he will make, and he's swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal, he did or he will do such and such and the likes like this. So this is the issue here. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah, he mentioned about this, أي لا تحلفوا. What does it mean here? وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ أي لا تحلفوا. Do not swear. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah, he mentioned here what is intended here, to protect your oath, and he do not swear. And likewise, it's been mentioned, أي لا تحنثوا, and he do not invalidate your oaths. Another interpretation of this verse, I do not invalidate your oath. And likewise, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, أي لا تتركوها بدون تكفير, يعني عند الحنث. So the issue, he says, do not leave the oath without an expiation whenever it is broken. Whenever it is broken. So the issue with regards to the hadith is that there's a beginning and a middle and an end. And in the beginning, this is by swearing. So one, he should not swear often. And he should only swear. He should only enter into a swear. And he should only use this expression on his tongue whenever it's needed. If there is a circumstance whenever it's needed, or whenever the situation calls to emphasize his speech by swearing by Allah, then he will swear by Allah. Or whenever there's a maslaha or a benefit in that circumstance and the likes like this, either it's beneficial for him to do that, and or there's a need calling for that, or the likes like this. Now, this at this time, it would be considered something that's allowed. And it could be considered something that is good when a person, he needs to emphasize his speech. And he needs to verify something, and to certify something, and to likewise clarify to those who are listening that he's very serious, and that what he's speaking about is something he has certain knowledge with regards to. Then he will swear, or if he's in a court and the likes like this, he will swear in order to clarify this, or if he takes and bears witness and the likes like this, and for certain circumstances, and it's required for him to swear, he will swear by Allah. He will swear by Allah, and there's no blame in this. And there's no blame in this. But to do it often, and to do it all the time, until a person, he's known for that, this is what is blameworthy. And many times a person who's known for always swearing, Wallahi, I did this, and Wallahi, I did that, and then in every circumstance, in every situation, he's swearing by Allah about this, is swearing by Allah about that, then many times this will lead him to falling into lies, or falling into invalidating his oath. And likewise, it will lead to the fact that the people will not trust him, and not believe him, because he's taking this as something lightly. Whenever a person is speaking, and then suddenly he swears by Allah, this is to emphasize the reality of that, and that this affair is very serious, and that this person, he means what he's talking about, and likewise he knows what he's saying. So now the person who hears that, this will affect his heart, and he will realize, and he will accept the statement and the likes like this, by bringing the name of Allah into this issue and swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal in this affair. So the one who does this often, it's like the name of Allah is nothing for him, and it's easy for him. Wallahi, 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 I did this and I didn't do that. It's just like it's nothing, like the name of Allah is very insignificant for him, and the likes like this. So therefore, this will lead the people to not trust him, and for him himself to become insignificant whenever he speaks, and that the people will not rely upon his statements. And likewise, it would lead him as well to falling into invalidating his oaths and his swears often, and many times likewise to swearing to swearing while he's lying. So this is what is intended here in the beginning, and also what is understood from the statement of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, la tahrifu. وَاحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ أَيْ لَا تَحْرِفُوا يعني كثيراً أو بدون حاجة أو بدون مسلحة. Do not swear any all the time without any need or without any particular benefit for that. Then if a person did swear, he must uphold that swear. He must uphold that. يَفِي بِهِ وَلَا يَنْقُضُهُ, and he would not invalidate it unless he swore by something and then he realized later that there's something more beneficial for him to do. Then if he realized that, then he will break his swear. He will break his swear and he will expiate that. So in the middle, in regards to swearing, is that a person, he will not invalidate that. First, he will not swear often. Then if he did swear, then he will uphold that and he will not invalidate that. And he will not invalidate that. If he did invalidate that, now in the end he must uphold the expiation. He must uphold the expiation. But with regards to invalidating the oaths, the origin is that one, he will not do that, and that is not allowed. But if there is a circumstance where a person, he swore about something, and then he realized that that's not the best thing for him to do. He swore that he will do this, or that he will not do that, and the likes like this, and then come to find out there's a better option for him that he was not aware of later, it's allowed for him to break his oath with the condition that he will make an expiation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that man halafa bi shay'in thumma ra'a ghayrahu khayran minhu, فليأتيه وليكفر عن يمينه فليأتيه وليكفر عن يمينه. That if one of you, he sees, he makes an oath from something, and then he sees that something else is better or more proper for him, then he will do that. He will do that thing, and he will expiate, for his oath. He will expiate for his oath. So this is allowed. This is allowed. But if there is no need for that, then he will not invalidate his oath. In any case, if the oath does become invalidated, now he must make the expiation. Now he must make the expiation. So all of this here is considered maintaining and preserving the oath. So with regards to the oath, it must be maintained and preserved in these manners here. First one, he must not swear by anyone except for Allah. And then likewise, he must be honest and truthful whenever he's swearing. And then he must not swear often and all of the time, meaning he will not swear unless it's needed for him to swear, or it's a benefit or required for him to swear. And then if he did swear, he will fulfill that, and he will not invalidate that unless he has a legitimate reason. And then if for any reason the swear was invalidated and he did not fulfill that, then he will make the expiation. And likewise, along with that as well, is that whenever someone swears by Allah Azza wa Jal, then that will be accepted. He will not accuse that person anymore after that. With accordance with the details that have proceeded in these issues in previous classes. So the author, he says now, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الحالف منفقة للسلعة ممحقة للكسب أخرجاه. So the author, he mentions now, رحمه ta'ala, the narration of Abi Hurayrata radiallahu anhu, radiallahu anhu, that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, الحديث منفقة للسلعة, that swearing is a means to circulate and to get the items that are for sale, and to a means to circulate them, so that they will be sold, yani that they will be purchased, and put in circulation, meaning that the people will purchase them and buy them. مَمْحَقَةٌ لِلْكَسْبِ, and a means to remove or wipe out the earnings, The author, he says, أَخْرَجَاهُ, meaning it's been narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Actually, this wording here, الحَرِفُ مَنْفَقَةٌ لِلسِّلْعَةِ مَمْحَقَةٌ لِلْكَسْبِ, this is the wording of Abi Dawood, and likewise Al-Nasa'i and Al-Imam Ahmed, yani لِلْكَسْبِ. But the wording of Al-Bukhari is لِلْبَرَكَ, الْحَرِفُ مَنْفَقَةٌ لِلسِّلْعَةِ مَمْحَقَةٌ لِلْبَرَكَ, مَمْحَقَةٌ لِلْبَرَكَ, مَمْحَقَةٌ لِلْبَرَكَ. And as for the wording of Al-Imam Muslim, then it is لِلْرِبْحِ, الْحَارِفُ مَنْفَقَةٌ لِلسِّلْعَةِ مَمْحَقَةٌ لِلْرِبْحِ. And the meanings, they are similar. The meanings, they are similar. So الحرف, الحرف, يعني against swearing. Swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal. مَنْفَقَة, مَنْفَقَة لِلسِّلْعَةِ. المنفقة, this is من النفاق. النفاق بفتح النون. We have an-nifaq and we have an-nafaq. So an-nifaq with a kasra on the noon, this means hypocrisy. من نافق ينافق نفاقا. And an-nafaq with a fatha on the noon, this is from nafaqa, nafaqa. And this means yani ar-rawaj. And this means that a person's items or product that he's selling, it will circulate and it will sell. And it will be beneficial and prosperous for the businessman and the likes like this. The opposite of al-kasad. Al-kasad is whenever the market has a downfall and there's depression and the likes like this. So the opposite of that is whenever the market is up and the items are circulating and the goods are being sold any often in the likes like this. A person, he'll have an item. For example, he'll have a number of them for sale. He'll have a number of them for sale. If this item is circulating in the market and people are buying it left and right, this is called a nafaq. This is called a nafaq. And this is what is intended here from the manfaqa. The opposite of that is al-kasad. And like I said, a person, he has a lot of items, nobody wants to buy them. He can't sell them. They're stuck in his possession and he's not making lots of money. And so his business, yani, is now slow. Business is slow. So what is from the ways to pick up the business? This is the meaning here. Let harifu manfaqatun lisilah. Al harif, to swear by Allah. To swear by Allah. This is a means, yani, for the business to pick up and for the items to be sold, because the Muslims, whenever they hear somebody swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal, they trust him. They trust him. But the one who's doing it in this manner like this, mamhaqatun lilkasbi aw lilbarakati aw lilribhi. But at the same time, it's a means to wipe out and to do away with the benefit of that, and with the earnings of that, and with the blessing of that, with the blessing of that. So this is something that is dangerous. So from one aspect, it's a means, and he's swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal, any in business and trading, it's a means for the items to circulate and to be sold. But likewise, it's a means for the blessing to be wiped out and to be removed, for the blessings to be wiped out and to be removed. And Allah knows best what is intended here. Yani al-yamin al-kathiba. It has come in al-Musnad by al-Imam Ahmed, also from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-yamin al-kathiba manfaqatun lis-sil'ati mamhaqatun lil-kasbi. Al-yamin al-kathiba, the false oath, the oath that is al-kathiba, yani al-fajira. Al-yamin al-ghamus, we have discussed this before. Swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal while one is lying and he knows. Swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal while one is lying and he knows. This is what is intended here. Al-yamin al-kathiba, manfaqatun lis-sil'ati, mamhaqatun lil-kasb. This is the wording of al-imam Ahmed. Also, one of the narrators mentioned mamhaqatun lil-barakah as well in the wording of al-imam Ahmed, rahimahullahu ta'ala. That the swearing while lying while one knows is a means to circulate the items and the products in the market, and also it's a means to wipe out and to remove the earnings, or a means to wipe out and remove the blessing. So the example is a person, he will swear by Allah, for example, that he purchased this item for this much. And he's only making, for example, he will say, I purchased this item for $90, and I'm selling it to you only for $100. I'm only making $10 profit. Wallahi, I'm only making $10 profit, and he got it for $50, or he got it for $80, or whatever the case may be. He's lying. So this is from the aspect of that. Or he will say, for example, somebody will offer him, for example, $50 for the item, and then he will say to the $50, this is way more. This is worth way more than that. Wallahi, somebody just came and offered me $75 and I didn't accept it from him. You think I'm going to take $50? And nobody actually came. He's lying. He's lying. And he's lying. He's just saying this to get the people to purchase his items. Or he's saying, well, wallahi, this item is an authentic item. This is from the brand such and such and such and such. And it's counterfeit. And it's counterfeit. Or you'll say, wallahi, it's brand new. It works perfect. And it's not brand new. It's old. Yani, somebody he had purchased before and brought it back, and he put it back in the box, for example. And these are all examples of that. So this is what is intended. A person, he will lie in order to sell his items. He will lie in whatever manner in order to sell his items. And he will swear by Allah with regards to that. So this could be a means for him, many times, for the people to trust him and to purchase his items. But likewise, at the same time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning a threat here. Also, it's a means for the earnings to be wiped out, or for the profit to be wiped out, or for the blessing to be wiped out in entirety. And this is the case. Maybe in the beginning it will sell, and even maybe his earnings will increase. But then in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inflict him with calamities. And imam haqatun lirribhi alul kasbi, and meaning maybe he will earn money, and his items they will sell because of his lies and his false oaths. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause calamities to befall him that will wipe his money out. So it'll be like he never had it before. Any issues in life would occur to him suddenly after that. Maybe directly or maybe sometime after that. And next thing you know, yani his money is being spent on some hardship or difficulty that he's facing now. and somebody got sick and he has to pay bills, or his money is stolen by a thief, or some penalties befall him, or whatever the case happens, or he gets ripped off, or something happens to his vehicle, and then all of his money that he earned goes to take care of this need. In the end, his money is gone and wiped out and lost. And the reason for that is because of his lying and false oath in order to sell his items. Or maybe he will not lose his wealth entirely, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strip the blessing from that. And he will have lots of money, but he will feel poor. And he will be unsatisfied, and he will be unhappy, and he will not find contentment, and he will feel like he's the poorest man on earth, and he is from the wealthy, and the likes like this, and there will be no blessing in his wealth, and he will go left and right, but he will not feel or benefit from the good of that. From the good of that. All of this is what is intended here, and Allah knows best. So this is something that is considered a threat. A threat, and for those who are lying specifically to sell their items. Even if a person, he's not lying, any the fact that he does it often, this is still blameworthy, and this is what is intended as well. And it's just to be from those who are always swearing by Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then as a means, any for the people to purchase his items. For the people to purchase his items. It has been narrated from Abi Qatadah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إياكم وكثرة الحلف في البيع فإنه ينفق ثم يمحق. You should be careful from swearing often while buying and selling. You should be careful from swearing often while selling your items. While doing business, because indeed it's a means for the items to be sold and to circulate on the market. And then as well it's a means for the blessing to be removed and to be wiped out. So here, even if a person, maybe he's not lying, but he's swearing all the time, again, this is a reason for this issue to occur. And this is because he's taken the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla lightly, and it's become insignificant. It's easy on his tongue. He swears by Allah, and he mentions the name of Allah like this, and it's nothing for him. It's light for him. It's insignificant for him. It's easy for him. So therefore, likewise, there's a prohibition with regards to this. The author, he mentions now, rahimahullah ta'ala, once Salman, radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, thalathatun la yukallimuhum Allah, wa la yuzakihim, wa lahum azabun alim, ushaymitun zanin, wa a'ilun mustakbir, wa rajulun ja'ala allaha bida'atahu, la yashtari illa biyaminihi, وَلَا يَبِيعُ إِلَّا بِيَمِينِهِ رَوَهُ طَبَرَانِ بِسَنَدٍ صَحِيحٍ. The author he mentioned the narration of Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said three types of individuals, Allah, he will not speak to them, and nor will he purify them, meaning nor will he forgive them or pardon them, and they will have a painful punishment. And they will have a painful punishment, meaning on the day of resurrection. There's an indication here that these are major sins. And the number is not intended. This is just an example here of these three types of people. But in reality, there are a number of other types of people as well that have the same threat, that Allah, he will not speak to them with kindness and with mercy on the day of resurrection, nor will he purify them, nor will he forgive them and pardon them. He will take them to account. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one, Ushaymitun Zanin. Ushaymitun Zanin. Ushaymit is ism tasghir from the Ashmelt. The Ashmelt, the person who his hair has become gray. Meaning an old man. An old man that his hair has become gray. This is the meaning of Ushaymit. The one who has gray hair. From old age. Ushaymitun zanin, the old man who is a fornicator. Waliyadhu billah. This is the first one. An old man who his hair has become gray out of old age, yet he's a fornicator. Wa'ailun mustakbir. A'il yani faqir. And the poor, arrogant and boastful person. A person is boastful and arrogant and proud, yet he's poor and he has nothing. وَرَجُلٌ جَعَلَ اللَّهَ بِضَاعَتَهُ لَا يَشْتَرِي إِلَّا بِيَمِينِهِ وَلَا يَبِيعُ إِلَّا بِيَمِينِهِ. And a man who has made Allah Azza wa Jal his commodity and his items that he sells. He does not purchase except by swearing by Allah, and he does not sell anything except by swearing by Allah. So what is intended here, and Allah knows best, وَرَجُلٌ جَعَلَ اللَّهَ يَعْنِي الْحَرِفَ بِاللَّهِ يَعْنِي الْحَرِفَ بِاللَّهِ بِضَاعَتَهُ. A man who has made swearing by Allah, his means, his bida'ah, yani his items that he sells. Meaning this person, he does not sell or buy anything except for he's swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is a means for him to do his business. So he has taken the name of Allah Azza wa Jal as a means to do business. And this person here has this great threat. So there are a number of benefits in this particular narration. And from the greatest of them is to clarify that whenever the call to sin is weak, the call to sin is weak, yet a person he still falls into it, then the sin is considered more severe. Yani the call to sin, da'i ila adhambi, idha da'ufa wa waqa'a fihi al-insan, yani kana dhalika dalilan ala fasadi tabiatihi. This is a sign that this person here, his soul is corrupted. For example, an old man, his hair has become gray from old age, yet he's still falling into fornication. And it's known that whenever people get older, the desires and the lust, it's not like a young man. The desires and the lust and the likes like this for this particular issue, it weakens whenever a person becomes old. So then likewise, many times when a person becomes old, they reach old age and they obtain the wisdom of life and experiences of life, and they realize that this is a foul way and this is a bad way. So along with that, this person, he's still falling into fornication. An old man with gray hair reaching the old age, and the knowledge and wisdom and experience of life that comes with old age. And likewise, the sexual desires, they weaken and decrease whenever a person, he reaches old age. Along with all of that, he still falls into this affair. This is an indication that he has evil in his soul. So it's one thing to be tried by desires that rile up. It's another thing to have this evil inside of a person. And this is a sign of that the caller to evil and to sin and transgression will be something that is weak or light, yet a person, he will still fall into it. Similar likewise, wa'ailun mustakbir, the person who is poor. He has nothing. Yet he's still arrogant and proud. And the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, that generally the one who is arrogant is the one who has something. The one who has money, or the one who has position or rank or status, or the one who has a particular quality and the likes like this, these are all reasons that will cause a person to become arrogant. And that he will be arrogant and he'll think he's better than others because he has some new shoes, or because he has a new car, or because he has a big house, or because he has lots of money, or because the people praise him, or because he has status, or because he has rank, or because he's the leader, or because he has authority, or because he has knowledge, or because of this affair or that affair, any of this particular trait or characteristic, because he can do this good, because he's strong, because he can play this particular sport, or because he can do this or he can do that. All of these are reasons that could be a cause for a person to become arrogant and think he's better than others. But as for the one who's poor, he doesn't have a dollar. He doesn't have anything. He's somebody poor on the street and the likes like this. The fact that he's still walking around thinking that he's better than others, and he does not have anything, this is a sign that his soul is corrupted and that the evil has taken hold of himself and the likes like this. So this is a foul way. And if we ponder and we look over our society, we find that these people are abundant around here. The likes of this, the people in this society, وَلِيَذُ بِلَى الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ أَلَّذِي هَدَانَ لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْدَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. Wallahi, many people around here, that there's old men left and right on the street, and they're involved in these affairs, and you see that with their gray hair walking around and hopping around like he's a young boy or a young man, and the likes like this, still falling into these affairs, and they put themselves on YouTube, and they're old men falling into the likes of these affairs, still involved in these affairs, and the gray hair has come to them, 50, 60, 70 years old, still falling into fornication and chasing after women in a manner that is foul. And likewise, we see them walking up and down Memorial Drive all the time. Individuals, they got no home. They have no home, literally walking around like he's the king of the world, like he has the world in his hand, and the likes like this, rapping to himself, and walking around bopping like, you know, like he can take everybody. It's amazing. And he has nothing. Sometimes he doesn't have a shirt on, or his shirt is filthy, or his jacket is filthy. Allahu musta'an. But then at the same time, he's arrogant and proud, like he's better than everybody. But he has nothing. This is a sign of complete failure. This is a sign of complete failure, and that evil has overcome the soul of this person. Along with these individuals, now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning this affair. Coupled in the threat with the likes of these individuals, the person is swearing all the time just to get his items. He's swearing by Allah azza wa jalla so he can get some money, so people will purchase his items, so he can get his items off in the market and the likes like this. So the fact that these individuals are mentioned altogether is a sign that all of these individuals, they have a foul trait. So it's bad enough that a person, he's swearing by Allah all the time. And even worse, that he would do that just to get some money, so people will purchase and buy his items, so that he can get a dollar in his pocket. And so this is all a great threat with regards to this affair. So after this, the author, he says, rahimahullah, wafis sahih, and Imran ibn Hussein radiyallahu anhu annahu qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayru ummati qarni thumma ladhina yalunahum. Qali Imran, فلا أدري أذكر بعد قرنه مرتين أو ثلاثة ثم إن بعدكم قوما يشهدون ولا يستشهدون ويخونون ولا يؤتمنون وينذرون ولا يوفون ويظهر فيهم السمن. وفيه عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم ثم يجيء قوم تسبق شهادة أحدهم يمينه ويمينه شهادته. قال إبراهيم أي النخعي رحمه الله كانوا يضربوننا على شهادة والعهد ونحن صغار. So now the author, he mentions the narration which is in the Sahih, يعني it's in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Imran ibn Hussein, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the best of my ummah is my generation, and then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. The best of my ummah is my generation. And the wording of Bukhari, Khayrukum Qarni. The best of you is my generation. And in Muslim, Khayru Ummati. Like this. And the meaning is the same. So the best of my ummah is my generation. Any the generation that he is in, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the companions. Meaning his generation that he's in, and his era that he's in, and his companions, radiyallahu anhum. And then those who follow them, meaning the tabi'un. And then those who follow them, meaning atba' tabi'in. And a qarn is 100 years. A qarn is 100 years. So a generation is like this, 100 years. So the best of this ummah is the ummah, is the generation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions. And then after them, the tabi'un, in virtue. And then after them, the atba' tabi'in. So this is these generations here are known as al-qurun mufaddala, the three most virtuous generations. And their religion and their way is the pleasing way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their creed and their belief and their methodology and their manners and their conduct and their deen is the deen that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were upon that way. And if we hope to have success in our life and in the hereafter, then we must learn their way and be diligent to hold fast to that. And this is the true religion. And this is the deen of Allah azza wa jal. This is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And everything that is contrary to what they were upon in creed and belief and in actions of worship and in methodology and in manners and conduct and in transactions and dealings, everything that's contrary to what they were upon is not from the deen of Allah. It's not from the deen of Allah. So Imran, he says, radiallahu anhu, he said, I don't know if he mentioned two generations after his or three. And this is a doubt from Imran radiyallahu anhu, but it has come in other wordings without doubt. And Allah knows best. What is mentioned is three. So al-qurun mufaddala, there are three of them. No doubt the generation after that, tabi'u atba' tabi'in, is a very virtuous generation likewise, but it's not included here. The first the first three generations are the generation of the Sahaba, the Tabi'un, and Atba' Tabi'in. These are Al-Qurun Mufaddala. In the time of the Sahaba, the first generation, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's alive with them in that generation. He's alive with them in that generation, and Islam is established properly. Islam is established properly, and the Tawheed is in the hearts of the people, and the Sunnah is established through the land, and the Halal and the Haram is applied, and the Deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is apparent and victorious, and innovation is almost non-existent whatsoever, except for in the very end of that generation. In the very end of that generation, and those people of innovation, they were in a lowly manner, and they were disgraced, and they were overcome, and the likes like this. And then in the next generation, likewise, because of the fact that they had learned from the companions, and they had benefited from those who learned directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise because of the strength of Al-Islam in that generation, and the establishment of the religion and the deen, and the tawheed and the sunnah likewise is raised and established, and the spread of Islam was great in that time, and as well because there were few innovations as well, although there are more than before, there were few, and still in that time as well, the people of innovation, they were disgraced, and they were not having authority, or they were also being opposed, and their falsehood and innovations were clarified, and the likes like that. And then in the third generation of the Atba' Tabi'in, similar like this as well, Islam is being spread, but now the innovations, they become more widespread, and the fitan as well becomes more widespread, and then after that, the affair started to become weaker and weaker, but the people of innovation spread more and more. Although in the generation of the Tabi'ul Atba', this is whenever the Sunnah was gathered and collected in a strong manner, and they were upon the religion properly in this era as well, and the Sunnah was being established as well, but the innovations, they began to spread, and the likes like this. In any case, the Qurun and Mufaddala, they're the first three generations. So it says, after those generations, there will come people who they bear witness, and they're not asked to do that, and they're not called to bear witness, and they betray, and they are not trustworthy. They betray the trust, and they act treacherous, and they are not reliable or trustworthy, and they make oaths, and they do not fulfill them, and it will appear amongst them obesity. It will appear amongst them obesity, meaning that they will have a great lust and love for the worldly life, until this will be seen in their bodies, and that they will desire and love and crave the worldly life and luxury and the likes like this, until this will be seen in their bodies. And also he says as well in the Sahih, and he likewise in Bukhari and Muslim, from the Hadith Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, was very similar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of the people, the best of mankind, is my generation, and then those who follow them, and then those who follow them, and then a people will come, and their testification will precede their oath, and their oath will precede their testification." And so, by gathering between these narrations, we see that from the blameworthy people who will come after those noble generations are individuals. They will bear witness, and they will testify to affairs, and they're not called to do that. And they're not called to do that, or they're not required to do that, or they'll do that falsely and the likes like this, or in order to take the right of a person. And they will, along with their testification, they'll swear by Allah Azza wa Jal often. So this is the aspect of this being considered blameworthy. Similarly has come, this wording here, also from the Hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu. But in the end of this wording, he mentioned, وَيَحْرِفُ الرَّجُلُ وَلَا يُسْتَحْرَفُ وَيَحْرِفُ الرَّجُلُ وَلَا يُسْتَحْرَفُ. This is in Jami' Tirmidhi. So a person, he will swear, and he is not required or asked to swear. So this is the indication of that. So what is intended for mentioning these narrations is it's blameworthy, the blameworthiness of this trait. You need to swear often, and to be one who is swearing all of the time. After this, he says, وَقَالِ Ibrahim, يعني Ibn Yazid and Naqai. Ibrahim ibn Yazid and Naqai, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 96, and he's from the great scholars of hadith and narrators of hadith, and he's from the students of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He says, they used to beat us for the shahada and for the covenant. كانوا يضربوننا على الشهادة. They used to beat us for bearing witness or testifying, والعهد, and also taking covenants. ونحن صغار, while we were little, whenever we were little, meaning before the age of puberty, Likewise, it has come another wording as well. وكان أصحابنا ينهوننا ونحن غلمان أن نحلف بالشهادة والعهد. And our companions, meaning those before us, they used to prohibit us. They used to prohibit us whenever we were young boys. Whenever we were little boys, they used to prohibit us from swearing by the shahada and swearing by the covenant. Yani what is intended here, al-ahad al-muwathaq. And that they will prohibit them from that. From taking an oath by Allah. They would say, ahadullah. Or, u'ahiduka billah, I swear to you by Allah. Or, alayya ahadullah, I'm taking a covenant with Allah. I will do this and I will do that. Like this, ashhadu billah, I bear witness in the name of Allah, and the likes like this. And taking these strong covenants like this, and meaning that they were prohibited from doing that. Maybe somebody would do that. Whenever they were young, they would do that. I swear by Allah, Allah is my witness, I did this and I did that. And taking the name of Allah and bearing witness to something, or taking a covenant and making an oath, and then emphasizing that with an oath by mentioning the name of Allah, they were prohibited from this. They were prohibited from this, from taking this lightly while they're children. So this is an indication likewise of the great care and concern the Salaf had with regards to raising their children and respecting and honoring at Tawheed, even to the extent it's something that they knew, that they were prohibited from that. And one of them would swear, and one of them would take an oath, and he would emphasize that with the name of Allah. He would be told, don't do that. Don't do that. And if they continue to do that, one of them will be disciplined. And he don't do that. And he don't take this affair lightly. Don't swear all the time. Don't swear by Allah all the time. Don't make these oaths like this, and emphasize like this. Wallahi, I did, or Wallahi, I didn't do. I take an oath by Allah. Allah is my witness. I swear by His name, like this, and just emphasizing the speech and talking like this. This is something that is not praiseworthy whenever it's not needed and whenever there's no benefit for that or not required. So the author, he says, now fihi masa'id, in this chapter there are issues. Al-ula al-wasiyatu bihifdh al-ayman. The first one is the command and the order to preserve and to maintain and protect the oaths. And we have seen what that means. الثانيه الاخبار بان الحلف منفقه للسلعه ممحقه للبركه. The second issue is that we have been informed now from these narrations that swearing by Allah is a means for the items and the product they need to circulate and to be sold, but at the same time it's a means to wipe out the blessing. الثانيه the third benefit or issue, الوعيد الشديد في من لا يشتري الا بيمينه ولا يبيع الا بيمينه. And the third issue here is the severe threat for the one who does not purchase except by making an oath, and he does not sell anything except by making an oath. And even some of them, maybe he himself is not selling, but he wants to purchase something. So then he'll swear by Allah likewise, and he'll use this manner to swindle and to get his way. And he's not selling himself, but he's buying. But then whenever, so people whenever they do business, in order to get the item, likewise he has to purchase. So maybe he'll do this whenever he's purchasing and when he's selling. And he trying to get over, trying to get his way, trying to manipulate the conversation, trying to win the argument, trying to get the price that he wants. And the likes like this, he'll swear by Allah. All of this is blameworthy, and all of this, there's a threat with regards to that. الرابعة التنبيه على أن الذنب يعظم ما قلة الداعي. ما قلة الداعي. The fourth issue here is to draw the attention to the fact that the sin, it increases in severity whenever the call for that is light or lesser. And يعظم الذنب بعظم حرمته. And بعظم حرمته. Whenever the something is greater, likewise, then the sacredness of something becomes greater, then the sin becomes greater likewise. Or as well, as the author he mentions here, whenever there's a call, the call for a particular sin is something that is light or is few, then a person, he still falls into that, then the sin becomes greater and more severe. And if, for example, what we have seen, a person, he reached old age and his hair is gray, and he still falls into fornication. and after this long life, and after the desire has weakened, or the one who has no money, or he has nothing, he's poor, he's down and out, he's destitute, yet he's still arrogant, he has nothing to brag about, he has nothing to boast about, he has nothing to be proud about, yet he's still proud, and yet he's still arrogant. So now the sin becomes even more severe. And likewise, if the right, the sacredness of the affair is greater as well, the sin becomes greater. For example, fornicating is something that is major. And to fornicate with somebody's neighbor is even more major. Or fornication is something that is foul. And to fornicate with the mahrim is even more foul. Wa'iyadhu billah. To play music is lowly and a bad way. And to do it in the masjid is even more severe. And to do it while the Muslims are in prayer is even more severe. It's even more severe. You need to have the music on somebody's phone is found and impermissible and not allowed. To have that music go off from their phone in the masjid is even more severe. And while the Muslims are in prayer is even more severe and even more severe. To swear by Allah and lie is foul. To do that in Medina is more foul. And to do that in the masjid of the Prophet is even more foul. It's even more foul. Like this. So that whenever the sacredness of something and is greater, then the severity of the issue becomes greater. Al-Khamisa, ذَمُّ الَّذِينَ يَحْلِفُونَ وَلَا يُسْتَحْلَفُونَ. The fifth issue here is the fact that those who swear and they're not required to swear, they're blameworthy. And this is something that is blameworthy. السَّادِسَ ثَنَاؤُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى الْقُرُونَ الثَّلَاثَةَ أَوْ الْأَرْبَعَةَ وَذِكْرُ مَا يَحْدُثُ بَعْدَهُمْ. The sixth issue is the fact that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he praised those three generations or those four, and mentioned that which has occurred after them. We have seen that al-Qurun al-Mufaddala, they are thalatha, three. As-sabi'a, dhammu alladhina yashhaduna wa la yustashhadun. The sixth issue here is the fact that those who testify to something and they're not required to do that, then they are blameworthy. And this is the case, yani in general, but if a person is testifying for the right of a person and he knows somebody who their right is jeopardized and somebody is trying to take their right unlawfully and he knows that, then he will step up and he will testify for them even if they don't ask him. This is not blameworthy. Yani he's to help his brother in the likes like this. Somebody is trying to take something from somebody and an individual, he knows that his right is being violated, he will step up and he will testify for him without being asked. This is not being blameworthy. But to testify to things or to affairs that do not concern a person or the likes like this, this is what is blameworthy. Or to manipulate or to testify for somebody falsely and the likes like this is all what is considered, and Allah knows best. Athamina, كَوْنُ السَّلَفِي يَضْرِبُونَ السِّغَارُ عَلَى الشَّهَادَةِ وَالْأَهْدِ. And the eighth and the last benefit is the fact that the Salaf, they used to beat their children and to discipline them. And to beat them, meaning in a manner that is a darb, or the beating of discipline, not of harming them or belittling them bruising them or wounding them. Not wounding their body and not wounding their heart. The legislation of disciplining in Islam and striking, yani hitting someone in this manner like this, is in order to discipline them and to let the person know that they're not pleased with them, and it will not be done in a manner that will harm them physically, and it will not be done in a manner that's belittling them likewise, but rather in order to discipline them, and so that they know that one is not pleased with them. This is the case here. So the children, they'll be disciplined in this manner from time to time if that's needed. And in the Salaf, they used to do that whenever they would swear often with regards to their testimonies and with regards to their covenants. And all of this is from the beautiful tarbiyah and care that they had for their children and cultivating them upon at-tawheed. May Allah grant us success. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.